The news at 9 o'clock. Good evening. Greg Dyke has taken over as Director General of the BBC, promising to maintain the high standards of the corporation. Over now to our newly appointed Chief Media Correspondent.
Yeah, hello, rap fans! Superstar! Yeah!
Dead Ringers.
And those were the unmistakable thrash samba musings of Swindon-based band Hitler's Plimsoll. And their new single, Stab Me, I'm Daft, which is currently out on the Diabetic Horse label. Now, here's a particular favourite of mine, indie foxtrot merchants Big Onion, with their latest waxing, Hang Me Up by My Big Hairy...
John! Sorry, you're doing Home Truths at the moment, love.
Oh, I did beg your pardon, one and all. Got completely the wrong end of the stick. Something that literally happened to me the other day when Sheila and I were attempting to erect a trellis in the back garden. But more of that later. First, we've had a lot of letters about last week's item on novelty slippers.
Producer again. Right. My mistake, we are doing your Radio 1 show. Oh. Sorry.
OK, right. Well, here now is one of Leicester's finest acid madrigal outfits, Cow Blanket, with the exceedingly fabulous album track Night Bus to Market.
Sorry, Harbour. John, it's me again. Sorry. Yeah. It isn't Radio 1 show. We're actually doing a voiceover for Thresher's off-licence. Actually, I don't know now. Sorry, I've got myself in a bit of a muddle,
yes.
John. Sorry.
You have, haven't you? Well, never mind. I'll just hedge my bets, eh? Right, well, that was the grunge quick-step sound of a letter from Mrs. Emily Johnson from Warwick, featuring blind Graham Gobnazi on drums and a vicar from Totnes talking about his relationship with his stepfather. And remember, booze is cheaper at Thresher's.
The continuing adventures of Paxman. Wherever there is an interviewer in distress, when government ministers try to fudge the issue, you will find Paxman and his sidekick, Bowtie Wonder Robin Day, fighting for the truth. Meanwhile, somewhere in White City, David Dimbleby is being non-confrontational.
Right, so, Mr. Haig, the issue about Lord Archer, you really should have...
You really are useless, aren't you, Dimbleby? You couldn't interview the leader of a scout group, never mind the leader of the Conservative Party.
Meanwhile, in the Pax Cave...
Holy vacuous interview technique, Paxman. We've got to do something.
Fear not, Boots, I wonder. This is one interview Haig will not escape.
Paxman!
Come on, Mr. Haig. Explain your failure to adequately investigate Lord Archer.
Well...
Come on, it's a very simple question, Mr. Haig.
Yes, but,
Stop dodging the issue and answer, Mr. Haig.
All right, you've won this round, Paxman, but don't you worry. Next time I'll be back with the miserable old Batwoman.
He means Ann Widdicombe.
To the Paxmobile.
Will the evil Haig ever explain himself adequately? Will Ann Widdicombe end up sitting on Robin Day? Will anyone ever take David Dimbleby seriously? Find out in the next thrilling installment of Paxman!
BBC Radio 4. I'm Brian Perkins, or Mr. Perkins to you. The Don. There's been another merger. This time it was Time Warner and EMI. Here's Charlotte Green with the details.
The new company will bring together some of the biggest names in pop music. Simply Red's Mick Hucknall will merge with Garbage to form Simply Garbage. So no change there, then. Alicia's Attic, The Rolling Stones, Underworld, Armand Van Helden and The Offspring will join up to form Alicia's Rolling Underarm Skunk Spring, while the Spice Girls, Eric Clapton, Tintin Out and Kate Bush will re-emerge as the Spice Girls clapped out Bush. Rumours about Sting and Big Country have yet to be confirmed.
Charlotte Green, don't even think about it, just remember... She's mine.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Joe Brand's Career Breakdown. Once upon a time, I had my own series where I could talk a lot about cakes. But now I've been reduced to reading from an auto cue and introducing sexually explicit foreign adverts after everyone's gone to bed. So I'm off for a portion of chips and a battered sausage. Good night.
Hi there, and welcome to Johnny Vaughan's movie show with me, Johnny Vaughan. Got it? Fantastic. So, tonight, we look at the recently released director's cut of The Graduate, which contains previously unseen footage. Here's a clip.
I think you're trying to seduce me, Mrs. Robinson.
Come over to the bed. Kiss me, Benjamin.
I'm feeling a little uncomfortable, Mrs. Robinson. I'd rather not come over to the bed.
Why ever not?
Well, because Mr. Robinson is in the bed as well.
Ah, but don't mind me, young Mr. Benjamin. I'm engrossed. I'm engrossed in a character-improving book. Now, you won't know I'm here. Blether, blather, blether.
I'm still a little uncomfortable, Mr. Robinson.
Ah, no need to be, good sir. Blether, blather, guff. Would that I were a stranger to Mrs. Robinson's predatory sexual nature, but sadly, I'm not. Now, hop under the eiderdown, there's a good chap.
I can't. You see, I'm in love with your daughter.
My daughter, young Mr. Benjamin, the fruit of the Robinson loins.
Yes, Mr. Robinson, your daughter, Anne.
That's right, and this door, I might add, is a potential death trap for the elderly and infirm. I'll be poking my nose into that particular subject later on Watchdog, but first it's over to Charlotte and her chip pan of death.
Everyone knows News 24 is rubbish and that we should all be watching me and the, quite frankly, delicious Isabel Lang on BBC One. So they've tried now to make the news more accessible using poetry. John Hegley comments on Mo Molam's recent drugs confession. For short, she's called Mo. Cheers. Short for what? We don't know. She admitted smoking a joint, thus invoking a point of relief that it was drugs, not British beef.
And now, on ITV, we drag out yet another hour of turgid variety with another of those interminable and audience with programmes.
Hello, you foppin' foppers! It's me, Mohammed Al-Fayed. Go on, ask me anything, you foppin' B-grade celebrity audience.
Oh, hello, Mohammed Chuck, it's me, Scylla. Now, I understand you've got some forthright opinions on our smashing royal family.
The foppers! That Prince Philip, he cut the brakes on the Mercedes. It's a conspiracy. The royals, the CIA, the Freemasons, the brownies, the round table, they all did it. Next question, Dame Edna.
Oh, thank you, my possum. Now, what of the Home Office decision to continually deny you a lovely passport, my darling?
They are all in it together. The Home Office, Prince Philip, the CIA, the FBI, the RAC, the YMCA, the Scouts, FIFA, the Goombay Dance Band, the Dennis the Menace Fan Club. Next question.
Hi there, sweetheart. It's me, Dale, here. Now, I've heard that you're a really nice, honest man who treats his staff and business associates with respect and dignity.
Ah, completely unbelievable. Who ever heard such fopping nonsense?
Squat, paranoid Egyptian shopkeeper Mohammed Al-Fayed, earlier today. Now from a celebrity audience to no audience at all. Yes, next on ITV, The Tonight Programme with me, Trevor MacDonald.
My castaway today is the candidate for London Mayor, Stephen Norris. Mr. Norris, what would you like to take to your desert island?
Well, Susan, darling, I'd very much like to pack you in the luggage, if you know what I mean. Ding dong.
Mr. Norris, You were Transport Minister during John Major's government.
Oh, away with this drudgery. Come, let's jump into a love boat, sail to your dressing room and maroon ourselves on an island of passion. Ding dong ding.
Oh, all right. All right, as long as you tape it.
Oh, you saucy little minx. He used to be asleep, but the alarm's gone off and now he's awake. And he's got to decide, should he put on the Argyle socks or the novelty Homer Simpson ones the kids bought him for Christmas? That's the choice this morning. For Michael Burke.
Michael, for God's sake, just shut up for once in your life.
Shut up, get out of bed quietly, or keep wittering on in this relentless fashion. A fashion that over the years has driven his wife to the point of despair. That's the choice right now for Michael Burke.
Right. That is it. That is it. I've had enough. I'm off. Goodbye.
His wife's left him. He's all alone, facing a desperately lonely future as a single man in the twilight of his career. So, will he make a drunken, desperate grope after work at Moira Stewart? Or perhaps try to cop off with Charlotte Green? That's the choice tonight at the Dog and Duck for Michael Burke.
You touch Charlotte, Michael, and I'll take you down.
Good evening, Homebase Dundee. How can I help?
Hello, is that MFI?
No, it's Homebase Dundee.
Oh, are you a furniture store?
No, we're not. It's a DIY store.
Oh, I see. Well, that's even better. I was wondering, do you sell screwdrivers, sonic screwdrivers?
I'll put you through the razor panel, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Ah, yes, I'm the doctor. Hello there. Tell me, do you sell screwdrivers, sonic screwdrivers?
We have a range of screwdrivers.
Do you?
What was it particularly you're looking for?
It's a sonic screwdriver. It operates by psychokinetic power. Do you have those in stock at the moment?
I'm afraid not, sorry.
No. Do you know if you will be having those in, ever?
Hard to say, really.
All right. And I wondered, whilst I was here, if I could just check a few more items on my shopping list for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any matter transmitters?
I'm afraid not.
No. Beryllium atomic clock?
No, we don't really keep them.
Really? I've got a very, very difficult job on the go. I wondered if you could perhaps supply me with a magnetic core extractor.
Afraid not.
Time transference slave relay.
Sorry.
Lateral molecular rectifier with anti-Blemenovich limitation effect modifier.
Don't think so.
Tin of paint?
Yes, plenty of paint.
And welcome to Delia Smith's How to Make Love, Part 2. Throughout this series, I'll be going back to the very basics of making love, so it really doesn't matter if you're a beginner or an expert. By the end, you should all be banging away like an outhouse door. So let's just start with what you'll need. This ingredient here is a man. Now, I got this man from Sainsbury's. There's usually a good selection wandering around there at about 9 in the evening. Look for ones carrying a basket containing a roast dinner for one. They're usually very cheap and very desperate. Now, you start by checking the firmness. You may then find that some kneading is required to bring the man to the correct consistency. But do always check to see if you haven't inadvertently bought the pickled in alcohol variety.
Sorry, I'm home.
Hello, David. Dinner's in the oven.
Oh, fantastic. Is it soup?
No, David, you've opened the washing machine.
Better take my shorts out of the oven, then they're probably done by now.
And that was Sailing By. The same old tune that I'm forced to listen to every single monotonous night. Which means it's time to annoy everyone except one stranded fisherman in Biscay with the shipping forecast. And I pay my licence fee for this. Well, you do, probably. I don't bother. Right, let's get it over with. This is the ever-so-exciting shipping forecast issued by the Met Office at 0015 hours. Trafalgar, Finisterre, Irish Sea, Lundy, Fastnet, Viking, Forties, Cromarty. I could just be making all these up, you know. Big Face, Cake Norwegian, Giant Tony, Sex Monster East. Occasional rain, becoming cyclonic. Generally, who gives a toss?
So, Seamus Healy's Beowulf, should it have won the Whitbread Prize? Tom Paulin, what do you think?
The whole structure here is quite wrong. You cannot rock back and forth on it. I just don't see why. We couldn't have had a sofa.
Now, Tom, not the chair. He means the book. What did you think of it?
Well, I don't understand. What book? Where's the food? We've been sitting around this table for hours.
Jermaine?
Excuse me. Who are you people? Huh? Did we have the cheese course yet? Did I miss it?
Tom, you're on television. I'm Tony Parsons. This is Jermaine Greer.
I've never known a restaurant where there's just the one table. I mean, where's the waitress?
Tom, you're a poet. You're what? On television. You're reviewing a book.
But I don't see any televisions. And who's she?
Tom, are you all right?
Just give me the bill. I'm not coming here again. It's dreadful.
Great performance, Tim Henman.
Yeah, you know, it was really great to get the whole country really excited and, deliver for them. And, it was great to... great to get into the final of a Grand Slam. And, not only that, but to win it in three sets was really pleasing.
How refreshing. How Heineken.
Dogger, Fisher, German Bite. Becoming quite cyclonic. Variable showers making you feel catatonic. Occasional showers, good. The Hebrides is kicking with Northern Gale at 4. My name is Brian Perkins and Daddy at 4. Look out, look out. I'm coming at you. Good, good. Get down.
Britain's attitude to the use of artificial stimulants is becoming increasingly liberal. Here's our media correspondent Nick Higham with a report on what that might mean for the TV schedules in 10 years' time.
BBC Two schedules could well reflect Britain's new licentiousness, with Judy Gordon fronting food and drugs.
Yes, I'm getting a definite buzz. I'm getting mental exhilaration. I'm getting a feeling of well-being. I'm getting absolutely off my face.
Look out as well for Last of the Summer Ecstasy.
Now then, chaps, let's go for a bracing and potentially amusing walk across the dales.
Leave it, Foggy, I'm chilling. I'm all loved up. Cracking E, Gromit.
And rounding off the evening, there'll be Booze Night with Jeremy Paxman.
Yes, now come on, answer the question, Mr. Blair. Are you or are you not my best mate in the whole world?
Hello, good morning. You're listening to Today with me, John Humphreys.
And me, the other one.
Coming up in the first half hour, I'll be mumbling on about how things were much better in the old days.
While at 6:45, I'll be phrasing a question in such a laborious way that by the time I've finished, it'll be time for Libby Purvis.
And then at 6:57, I'll be telling you it's 6:58 and you'll have a heart attack.
And at 8:10, I'll say it's 7:10 and you'll be sacked for being late.
Well, after the news, I'll be starting a sentence by speaking very quietly like this, then suddenly going very loud and then very quiet again. So you turn your radio up, but as soon as you do, it'll be very loud again. And at 8:10, I'll be talking to Michael Portillo in our radio car. He'll be saying, hello, hello, can you hear me, John? And I'll be saying, yes, Michael, I can you hear me? And he'll start going, hello, hello, are you there?
At 8:40, there'll be some populist survey about shampoo, and I'll feign interest despite it clearly boring the pants off me.
Still, of course, it could all be a lot worse. You could be listening to Henry Kelly.
Ah, Mr. Hislop, Mr. Deighton, welcome to the Ground Show. Can I get you a drink?
Yes, please, and it's Deighton. What would you like, Ian Guinness?
Are you referring to disgraced Guinness boss Ernest Saunders, whose so-called Alzheimer's led to his early release from prison?
No, I was referring quite simply to the drink.
No thanks. What are you having?
I'm having an Archer's.
Is that Geoffrey Archer, the lying ex-minister about to be expelled from the Tory party?
No. Ian, you're off duty now, so just stop it with the ceaseless and often quite unfunny satire, OK? And have a whiskey. Teachers?
Is this about the introduction of performance-related pay for teachers proposed by Tony Blair?
No, look, for goodness sake, Ian, please, let it go. Now, just pass me the paper, will you?
There you are.
But, Ian, you seem to have cut out a word from each of the headlines.
You've got to guess the missing one.
No, Ian, listen, you have to guess the missing word from this sentence. Off.
Is it off-lot, the National Lottery watchdog?
Oh, yes, is the right answer. Happy now, and this week's winner is Ian Hislop. Is that all right? Well done.
Hooray for me.
Hello, bathroom.
Yes, hello. This is the doctor speaking. Could you help me just for a moment?
Yes.
I was wondering, what year is this?
Pardon?
What year is this? Can you tell
what
me?
What year is this? The year 2000.
The year 2000?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that shouldn't have happened. There must have been a malfunction on my time transfer and slave relay.
Oh, goodness gracious, no.
Tell me, have you been plagued by any Daleks or Sontarans?
Not recently, no.
What about Cybermen?
Well, I did meet one the other day.
Spray gold into their breathing apparatus. It's the perfect non-corrodible metal and therefore suffocates them.
I'll have to remember that one.
Thank you.
Come in, 007. I've called you in for your thoughts.
Well, I've been checking out our intelligence, and it indicates that the Americans are losing long-range communication. At this stage, we've got no idea who's responsible. You fucking Secret Service puppets! It's obvious it is Prince Philip, the CIA, the FBI, the Toll Puddle Martyrs, the Crankies, the Diddy Men, and the Jackson 5!
No. You know, you're a brilliant agent, Fayed. I'd offer you the world to join the British Secret Service.
The world is not enough.
What if we throw in a passport?
Done.
I was sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Thora yesterday, after the village jumble sale, when I heard a man on the wireless opining about the Archers. He said the rural drama serial was going to transmit a scene of an explicit nature, which in my day meant Ina Sharples removing her hairnet. I threw a disparaging glance to Thora. Why do people have to resort to sexually graphic scenes on the wireless? I said, realising far too late that in my consternation I'd inadvertently wobbled my saucer and allowed tea leaves to soak into Thora's best crocheted cushion covers. Thora straightened her spectacles and with a look of thunder replied, Alan, you've been a very naughty boy and you need to be punished. The next thing I knew, I was bound in cellophane and suspended from the light fitting. Thereafter followed a particularly extensive pleasure-pain session, which involved me first being fed macaroons and then getting thrashed with an Ann Summers leatherette special. Then the telephone rang. It was Mr. Pettiforth from number 42. Thora told him that she hadn't forgotten their assignation and she'd be popping round within the hour with her turbo tickler and a pot of homemade plum and damson preserve. So I say to the producers of The Archers that if they want to broadcast explicit scenes on the wireless, they'd better be man enough to take on me, Mistress Thora, and a pair of dirty dominatrix studded gloves, which, of course, they aren't.
Now, at the end of January 2000, the Millennium Bug has failed to make an appearance. Or has it? Joining me is a man who says that it's affected him significantly. Good morning.
Good morning, Trevor.
And could you tell the listeners your name?
Of course. My name
It's Professor Stephen Hawking.
You're wrong. The renowned theoretical physicist.
That is right, Trevor. Well done.
And how has the Millennium Bug affected you?
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? My voice synthesizer has gone right up the bleeding swanny. There I was, on New Year's Eve, right as rain, when, voila, the clock strikes midnight and I start talking like this.
And is there nothing you can do about it?
Well, the technical buds have produced an alternative voice for me if I flick this switch.
There, now I sound like Chris Eubank. It is terrible.
Yes, it is. But your change in voice hasn't affected your mental capacity, has it?
No. For instance, I can still tell you that the chronology projection conjecture holds that the laws of physics conspire to prevent the macroscopic bodies from carrying information into the past.
Fascinating.
And I'll tell you something else.
What?
Not a lot of people know that.
So, what's in the news this week? A watchdog is being set up to regulate the mortgage industry. It's going to be called Offrip. An incompetent plastic surgeon was shot by a client whose surgery went wrong. Police are now looking for a suspect whose face doesn't fit. Following a mystery throat infection, the Queen Mother has been advised to rest her voice in order to prevent herself suffering. Meanwhile, Prince Philip has been advised to rest his voice in order to prevent everyone else suffering.
Dead Ringers starred Alistair McGowan, Jan Ravens, John Coltrane and Simon Lipson. The producers were Bill Dare, Danny Wallace and Mario Stilonides. It was written by John Holmes and Andy Hurst, Simon Blackwell, Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, Ivor Badil and Ashley Baroda, D.A. Barham, Rupert Russell, Richard A.D., Matt Holness, Lawrence Howarth and Gerard Foster, with additional material by Jen Robertson, Paul Gannon, Arthur Spurnbottom, Gospel McDonald, Aylor Retention and Espen Carnesvick.